It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Hello, everybody. You know, the best part of hosting this show is getting so many wonderful testimonials from listeners that have had their health challenges improve after hearing something on the show. Your questions, suggestions, praises, and criticisms are always appreciated. If you have any health-related questions or comments, you can always reach out to me at askthedoctor@toyourgoodhealthradio.com. If I use your question on the air, I'm going to send you a signed copy of my number one best-selling book, Food Sanity, How to Eat in a World of Fads and Fiction. I'll also include my best-selling audio, America's Unbalanced Diet. Okay, let's get to your questions. Our first one comes from Michelle Lawton from Sarasota, Florida. Dear Dr. Friedman, my son is always cracking his knuckles. I've heard doing so can cause arthritis. Is that true? Great question, Michelle. You know, cracking your knuckles may aggravate the people around you, but actually it does not increase your risk of arthritis. That's the conclusion of several studies comparing hand arthritis among habitual knuckle crackers and people who didn't crack their knuckles. So people that crack their knuckles actually have a lesser risk of developing arthritis. And the reason is knuckle cracking improves the flow of synovial fluid surrounding the joint, which increases mobility. Now, what does arthritis do? It decreases mobility, so it actually helps. Where did this cracking knuckles causes arthritis myth come from? From annoyed parents like yourself trying to convince their kids to stop cracking their knuckles. So no matter how annoying it may be, cracking your knuckles is beneficial and will not cause arthritis. Our next question, let's see, comes from Diane Richardson from Albuquerque, New Mexico. She writes, Dr. Friedman, I read your book, Food Sanity, and love how you share the pros and cons of all the food groups. I eat organic chicken and wild-caught fish, but occasionally I crave a steak. I know you're not a fan of red meat, but will the occasional hamburger or steak be a health concern? Thanks for your question, Diane, and I'm happy you're enjoying reading Food Sanity. You know, my goal in each of those chapters was to explore every food group using a common science and common sense approach that lets the reader decide if they should or shouldn't eat it. And there are a couple reasons why I'm not a fan of eating red meat. First, the evidence supporting the correlation between red meat consumption and colon cancer is irrefutable. From Harvard, Johns Hopkins, Mayo Clinic to the Cleveland Clinic, research shows the more red meat you eat, the more likely you are to get colon cancer. This is a fact, but until recently, we didn't know why. You see, we used to know cigarettes caused cancer, but there was a time we didn't know why. Then we discovered, oh, it's the nicotine in these cigarettes that are causing the cancer. Well, 4 years ago, the National Academy of Sciences shared a discovery of a unique sugar molecule called NEU5GC, which is found high in cows. So when we eat this molecule in their meat, it triggers an immune response that leads to chronic inflammation, which has been linked to colon cancer. Among all cancer victims, colon cancer is the second leading cause of death. The more red meat you eat, the more likely you are to get colon cancer. Fruits, veggies, chicken, and fish do not contain this inflammatory molecule. Now, the second reason I'm not a red meat advocate is it's very difficult for people to digest. Because humans have longer intestinal tracts compared to carnivores, the remnants of red meat remain in the colon longer, leading to putrefaction, which can turn into ammonia and a waste product called uric acid. This acid can destroy the intestinal flora of the intestines, especially the small intestines, and when uric acid remains stagnant in the colon for too long, guess what it does? It gets absorbed into the bloodstream, which is called leaky gut, and this can contribute to everything from arthritis, hypertension, increased risk of type 2 diabetes. Also, red meat is the most difficult animal food to digest. Fish takes 30 minutes to digest. Chicken takes about 90 minutes, and red meat can take up to 5 hours. And if you don't eat enough fiber, it can cling to the intestinal walls for several days undigested. Because carnivores have a short and smooth-shaped colon, they don't need fiber in their diet like we do. And lastly, humans, they're not designed to process red meat. So unlike the carnivores, our teeth and saliva, they won't break it down. This is why the number one reason people require the Heimlich maneuver for choking is due to a piece of undigested red meat that's gotten stuck on the way down the esophagus. So if you still want to eat the occasional steak or hamburger once a month, sure, go for it. But it, you know, it's sure better than these paleo keto advocates that eat it every day. I don't like it. I don't eat it ever. But the occasional, it's like the occasional cigarette, one or two a month, probably not going to get colon cancer. Still not good for you. So the occasional is okay. Bison is actually a better choice there. Our next question is from Stephen Cosentino from New York. Doc, I've been a longtime listener and a big fan of the show. After reading your book and learning the type of diet you advocate, why do you interview guests that aren't congruent with your way of thinking? Very interesting question. You know, first of all, I remain a full-time student. What I learned is the truth in college has changed dramatically. You see, science is evolving. So is our food supply. It's changing. And new discoveries, they're ongoing. I embrace all ways of thinking, and I welcome with open arms differences of opinion. In fact, I prefer to interview guests that have opinions that are different than mine. I wish other radio and podcast hosts would share this view, and so many of them don't. You know, I've had these guys as guests on my show, and you know what? They won't have me on their show to promote food sanity because it's not 100% congruent with their book. I believe life isn't always black or white. I live in the gray area. I take bits and pieces from both sides. And you know what? I make my own informed decisions. People ask me why I had Dr. Gundry, Stephen Gundry, on the show. He's the best-selling author of The Plant Paradox. He says people should stay away from all grains and legumes because they contain a toxin called lectins. He also believes tomatoes and eggplants cause obesity. Now, do I personally believe his theories to be true? Well, after looking into the history of food and science, I do not. But I invited him on the show because I keep an open mind. Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn was on the show. He wrote the book Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. I loved his book, and he's somebody I deeply admire. He shared with the listeners the health benefits of a plant-based diet, which I agree with. But then he said avocados aren't healthy and can lead to heart disease and should be avoided. And he also said olive oil is a no-no. Now, he lost me there. I believe avocados are one of the healthiest foods on the planet. And science has proven that followers of the Mediterranean diet, those are avid consumers of olive oil, are among the most healthy on the planet. For several years, I've done a segment called Chew on This with devout vegan Kim Barnuen, author of Skinny Bitch. Now, do I agree with everything she believes? No. That's what makes the segment fun and interesting. Why would I want to have clones of Dr. Friedman on the show? How boring would that be? I'd have to call it Me, Myself, and I to Your Good Health Radio. You know, food politics, folks, it's become as heated as Democrats versus Republicans. At To Your Good Health Radio, I strive to create a bipartisan culinary sounding board where everybody can share their views. All right, our next question is from Shelley Jeffords in San Diego, California. Dear Dr. Friedman, I'm confused about coffee. I hear coffee is bad for us, then it's good for us. I hear here in California, they are putting warnings on coffee because it causes cancer. But 2 weeks ago, the news reported a study showing coffee extends a person's life. What's the scoop on coffee, Dr. Friedman? Shelley, welcome to my world of contradiction when it comes to what we should and what we shouldn't be eating or in consuming or drinking. You know, I remember in the 80s reading a university study that put a morning cup of coffee and cigarettes in the same unhealthy category. Today, research shows coffee combats diabetes, cancer, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and heart disease. You know, I remember when doctors used to tell their patients to get off coffee because it reduces high blood pressure when they get off of it. Well, guess what research shows now? Coffee dilates blood vessels, improves circulation, which can actually lower blood pressure. So quite opposite. You know, while there's so many studies showing the health benefits of drinking coffee, there is just as many studies showing how excess consumption can have the opposite effect. For example, according to the National Institute of Digestive and Kidney Diseases, moderate amounts of coffee can help the liver to detoxify the body, but too much can cause liver dysfunction. Research published by the British Journal of Psychology shows that moderate daily coffee consumption can sharpen your thought process and increase concentration. However, too much coffee shows it can actually cause confusion and brain fog. So if you're a coffee drinker and you suffer from muscle soreness or spasms, which I see a lot in my practice, I tell them to get off coffee because it could be due to the dehydrating effects of that morning cup of Joe. So if you've got spasms or aches or pain and drink a lot of coffee, you'll see results by cutting back. If you have IBS, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, or other gut issues, coffee can worsen your condition. It creates peristalsis, which is an involuntary constriction of the muscles of the intestine. This puts strain on the lining of the colon and can create inflammation. Not something you want to have if you have gut issues. So you don't want that inflammatory response. So after 28 years of percolating over whether or not I should recommend coffee to my patients, here's what I believe. We are all unique, and every person listening right now reacts differently to certain foods and beverages. For example, I love having a bowl of oatmeal and quinoa in the morning. It makes me feel great. That wouldn't be the case, though, for a person with a gluten sensitivity. Eating that same bowl would cause horrendous headache. It could cause dizziness, fatigue, and even digestive issues. The same goes for coffee. It's not for everybody. Let your body speak to you and listen to it. If you drink a moderate amount of coffee, which is 1 to 3 cups per day, and it helps you feel alert, puts you in a great mood, and makes you more productive at work, then go ahead and enjoy your coffee. If drinking coffee upsets your stomach, causes diarrhea, makes you feel jittery, bloated, or irritable, coffee isn't for you. Listen to your body. Don't drink it. While there are some people that can't tolerate drinking coffee, for the most, it seems to have its perks, and pun there is intended. Let's go to Michelle Akers. She has a question. See, Dr. Friedman, I suffer from Candida yeast infection. I go on a cleanse diet and drink Podiarco tea, which completely gets rid of it. But within a few weeks, it always returns. Any suggestion? Yes, toss away your toothbrush every week. You see, the yeast thrives on those moist bristles. So no matter what diet or nutritional protocol you do, when you brush your teeth, you can reinfect yourself through the gums. If you don't want to throw away your toothbrush every week, you can use a blow dryer on the bristles after you brush. Get those things dry and you'll see better results. All right, Dan Ritchie from Dallas has a question. Let's see, I have carpal tunnel syndrome from being at my computer for 8 hours a day. Any suggestion? Yes, great question. Take vitamin B6, 100 milligrams per day. This helps reduce inflammation of the wrist. Also eat watermelons and pineapples. Watermelons, what they do is they act as a diuretic, which reduces inflammation, the swelling there in the wrist. And pineapples contain anti-inflammatory enzyme called bromelain. Now, if you don't like pineapples, if you need to avoid them because of their sugar content, you can take a bromelain supplement. Another thing you can do is put your hand in ice water for about 10 minutes, then put it in warm water for another 10 minutes. Always end with heat. What this does is ice removes the inflammation, and then you put it in heat, creates a fresh new healing blood supply. And guess what? The B6 goes right to the wrist because you're shooting that extra blood to the wrist. It's kind of like getting an oil change of the wrist and the hands, and this often brings immediate relief. And by the way, people that are listening say, what's carpal tunnel syndrome? If your hands go numb and you're doing a lot of repetitive use and typing or sewing anything where you're gaming, even gamers do that, and you wake up and your hands are numb and you want to shake them to get relief, probably carpal tunnel syndrome. Another thing is don't extend your wrist. If you're doing push-ups, use your fist. Don't extend your wrist. Don't high-five somebody if your team wins. And when you get out of bed, use your fist. Or when you crawl into bed, don't use your outstretched hand. That pinches the tunnel there and pinches the nerve called the median nerve. All right, let's see. We got Ann Jennings from Massachusetts. She asks, Dr. Friedman, I don't have the best eating habits, but I make up for it with vigorous daily exercise. But I can't lose weight. Any advice? And there's an old saying out there, you lose weight by burning more calories than you eat. That's absolutely false. You know, I've interviewed on this show some of today's leading exercise gurus, including Denise Austin, Donovan Green, who's Dr. Oz's personal trainer, and celebrity fitness trainer Jay Cardiello. I ask all of them, I say, which is more important to losing weight? Is it diet or exercise? And surprisingly, you think that these guys are fitness gurus, that they'd say fitness, but all of them said successful weight loss is 80% diet, 20% exercise. See, no matter how many jumping jacks you do or how long you ride that stationary bike, exercise alone simply does not work. If you want to lose weight and keep it off, changing your diet is far more effective. It takes 500 jumping jacks to burn off 100 calories. However, eliminating one soda subtracts 150 calories. So let me ask you, which has a greater impact? Considering the average person consumes 3 to 5 sodas every day, it seems pretty obvious that you can't spend each day doing 4,000 jumping jacks to erase bad eating choices. While exercise is definitely important for good health, you lose weight in the kitchen, you get toned in the gym. You cannot outrun your fork. All right, I think we have time for, let's see, one more question. Let's go to Shelley from Ohio. She asks, Dr. Friedman, is it important to eat everything organic? That's not easy to do and can get costly. Yes, that's a great question. You know, it's true. It's not always possible to find everything organic. And, you know, there's a simple rule of thumb that I live by. If you can take your fingernail and easily puncture the skin of the fruit or veggie, chances are pesticide can also enter. So things like blueberries, apples, strawberries, pears, always buy them organic. Thick skin products like, you know, avocados, pineapples, and eggplant, not such a concern when buying organic. And if you're in doubt if it's organic or not, there's a little detective work you can do. You can look at something called the PLU sticker. That stands for the price lookup code. You'll see those little stickers there. If it starts with a 9, it's organic. If it starts with a number 8, it's GMO. So an easy way to remember this is if it's 9, it's fine. But if it's 8, it isn't great. So do play a little detective work. And it's always good to go organic if you can. But like I said, those are the ones to really go for mostly. You don't want to be eating the pesticides that's been linked to all types of stuff, including autoimmune disease, leaky gut. You don't want those pesticides in your system. They're awful. They've also been linked to obesity because it's an obesogen. So it can actually cause weight gain when you eat those. You know, it's funny, you eat fruits because they're low in fat, but they've got pesticides and they make you fat. So stay away if you can. All right. I want to thank everybody for all the wonderful questions you sent. You know, if you have a question that I didn't answer today, you can email me at askthedoctor@toyourgoodhealthradio.com. If I answer yours on the air, I'm going to send you a signed copy of my award-winning number one best-selling book, Food Sanity, How to Eat in a World of Fads and Fiction. I'll also include my best-selling audio, America's Unbalanced Diet. And if you want to stay up to date with my latest articles, my videos, and my podcast, you can go to drdavidfriedman.com. And while you're there, be sure and sign up for my free newsletter with all the latest health news you can use coming right to your inbox. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Health Radio Doc. And if you heard me share something today that will benefit somebody you know, but they didn't listen, send them a link to this podcast. It's available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. And make sure you check out our podcast library and share segments with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. This stuff's too important to keep to yourself, so go out there and share it. You can also subscribe to future podcasts on iHeartRadio and iTunes, so you'll never miss a show. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.